Backseat Box Office, episode number 138, for the weekend of May 10th through May 12th, 2013. Hey, this is Lena.
And this is Jeff.
And we are the Backseat Producers, and this is Backseat Box Office. Hello, everybody, and hello, Jeff.
And hello to you, Lena. How you doing?
I'm doing well. We started early tonight. Woo.
And it's early.
Well, no, because normally this is about the time that we just hook up.
Okay, all right.
So we're like a half hour ahead of schedule.
So let's cut to the chase. Iron Man 3.
Fabulous. I loved it. I thought the suit was super cool. I love the new suit. I'm not going to say anything about it because it's still too new of a movie. But I love the suit. And I was even, towards the end, happy with Pepper. Muh.
Oh my God, you got to be kidding me.
Well, there were some obvious scenes at the end where I kind of sat there. Well, although it was a mixed bag. Because one thing, and I guess since I'm not an avid comic book reader, as I've been told that I guess they kind of, it's normal for the women to be weak and stupid and a bit annoying. But I did watch, because I watched Iron Man on Friday, I watched Iron Man 2 on Saturday, and I did not realize that Pepper is such a, not to say girly girl, but she's just a wuss. And I didn't know she was, which makes me dislike her even more.
I will say this, because there's a lot of people that, you know, criticize Iron Man 2. But I did like Pepper kind of stepping to the fore at the end of that movie, where she, you know, she kind of took over. I don't want to say took over, but she kind of, you know, she kind of put Justin Hammer in his place.
Now I'm trying to remember what happened at the very end.
Since
I saw three of them in three nights, it's all one jumble.
So they're at Stark Expo.
Mm-hmm.
And so Hammer's going to have his big demo of the drones that his company has created.
Right.
He doesn't realize that the villain is not planning on doing a demonstration. He's planning to do an execution of Iron Man.
Mm-hmm.
And so all the drones basically just start trying to take out Tony Stark and Iron Man, including War Machine.
Right.
Time. And she kind of goes backstage and kind of, you know, takes charge, you know, because she is CEO of.
Is that where he told her to go back there and do this, 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 and this?
Well, Black Widow,
mm-hmm,
basically figured out that, you know, that it's, you know, Whiplash, Ivan Vanko, that he's controlling it from his facility, and she goes off to take him out.
He's Whiplash?
Yeah.
Oh, I did not know that.
Mickey Rourke?
Yeah, I didn't know Ivan Vanko was Whiplash.
Yeah.
Oh, duh, I should have figured that out. Okay.
It's all right. See, when you binge drink, there's gaps in your memory.
it's true.
No problem. So I thought, you know, I like that, you know, a little bit. It kind of went in a different direction in Iron Man 3. I enjoyed Iron Man 3. There were some minor points that kind of bothered me.
Mm-hmm.
There's really only one, but I, you know, it's a spoilerific detail, so I don't want to mention it.
Yep.
Just because I am not an Iron Man fanboy, but I know it's going to be a fanboy criticism.
Ah, okay.
No, I thought they did a good job. I love the PowerPoint marbles.
Mm-hmm.
Guy Pierce.
Those are pretty damn cool. Yeah.
Yeah, and I ended up missing the CSI scene because my son had to go to the bathroom.
Roops. I liked it. And as far as Iron Man 2, I thought Mickey Rourke was really good. And I think, you know, because of everything that he's done in his later years, almost like with Tom Cruise, I forget that he also still, he has talent. You know, you look at the beat-up face and the really horrible plastic surgery, and you can kind of forget that he's a talented actor.
Mm-hmm.
I liked him as Ivan Vanko. I just, you know, he had maybe 15 words in the whole movie, but I just thought he did a good job at what he was supposed to do.
Yeah, I thought Guy Pearce was very good as the and whoever, you know, his second in command, that ball guy, I instantly disliked that guy. So he did a good job.
Yes. He reminded me of somebody. I looked him up, but I don't think he's ever been in anything that I had seen before. Although the woman, the biochemist or biophysicist or whatever she was, drove me nuts the entire movie. I know her. I know her. Look at that mouth. How could I, you know, she, that distinctive mouth. How could I? And she was in a couple things, but she was in the town, and that's how I knew her. Did you see that, Ben Affleck?
Haven't seen The Town.
Okay, very good.
No, it's on the Netflix queue.
There you go.
Yeah, I heard that originally they were going to have Jessica Chastain play that character, but she had to drop out for scheduling.
I don't know a whole lot about her.
Did you stick around after the credits?
Oh, hell yeah. And loved the ending. I thought it was so... I thought it was really cute and clever.
So, I think the first five minutes of the movie, I realized that it's going to be a hard divorce if Robert Downey Jr. is not going to play Tony Stark anymore.
Yeah.
Because that first scene was great. So, you know, a little story. When we came home, because I took my daughter and my son to go see it.
Okay.
The one scene that my son had to tell my wife about was when Tony Stark got hit in the nuts by the suit. So that's where, no, that's that, where that's... the 10-year-old's mind's at.
Exactly. I was going to say that's the appropriate scene to love as far if you're 10 years old.
Yes. So I looked at the IMDb trivia track.
Uh-huh.
Or the trivia page or whatever you want to call it. And because did you think the credits were a little on the long side?
Yeah, I was playing with my phone at that point. Yeah, I thought it was because at one page there was simply an entire screen of names, and I didn't even know where it had started, so I didn't know who they were. I assumed it was stunts, but I don't even know.
Okay, so I'm watching the credits, and usually right before you hit the end, you have all the, you know, all of the songs that appeared in the movie,
right?
Who composed the song, who performed it, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get into the miscellaneous thank yous, like thank you for the city of Vancouver or whatever. So I was kind of in a daze because the credits were going on for so long. And then I saw a special thanks to iStock Photo, which is just a website where you can buy stock pictures. And I was thinking, why would they thank a stock photo website? So I looked, and it looks like they put in extra names just to make it more painful for the audience, because, you know, they all know you're going to stick around for the
exactly
for the post credit scene.
Mm-hmm.
So I would definitely recommend going to see it in the theater. Did you do 2D or 3D?
2D.
Yeah. I also did 2D. But I still think I like the first one better. But I think the second one is probably behind number 3.
So 1-3-2.
1-3-2.
Okay, I can see that. And although I have, I don't have the same dislike of Scarlett Johansson that I used to. Not so much a dislike, but meh. But I liked her in Avengers, and now that I've seen Iron Man 2, I like her more. I thought she was very good.
No, she was good. We were watching that over the weekend because FX was showing Iron Man and Iron Man 2 like
mm-hmm. And I did get, that's where I watched Iron Man 1 on Friday. I wasn't going to be able to see the Saturday one because I was playing Shadowrun, so I actually did rent that one off of Amazon and paid the $2.99.
So as a family, we're watching it, and the scene came on where Black Widow takes down the limo, you know, Happy.
Yeah.
That was really funny.
She was great. And I liked him too, and in Iron Man 3, I thoroughly enjoyed his choice of TV shows. That's all I'm going to say. Because I don't spoil things until they've been out for a couple of months. Thank you, Tony.
Okay.
Anyway, all right, then.
Any other movies? Or was Iron Man 3 it?
It was the Iron Man trilogy, and I was movie spent at that point.
Yeah, that was the only movie that I had seen since we last recorded. What about trailers? Did you get enough trailers for Iron Man 3?
Really? Okay. Let me just. Olympus Has Fallen, or White House Down. That annoyed the crap out of me. White House Down was Olympus Has Fallen with that damn Jamie Foxx. If I had tomatoes, I'd have thrown him at the screen. I was annoyed by that.
Well, just poor planning by whoever decided to have those movies come out around the same time. You know, it's funny, we didn't get a trailer for White House Down.
Oh, it's Olympus Has Fallen with Jamie Foxx.
Yeah. We got a rousing trailer for Star Trek Into Darkness.
I don't think we did.
I'm really excited to see that. But the only cringeworthy moment of our whole movie going experience on that Sunday morning
mm-hmm.
was Fast and the Furious 6 and Hangover 3. Which I thought might,
so, yeah.
That's, you know, because we're at a, you know, action blockbuster or, you know, or comic book movie. I don't know how much crossover demographically there's going to be between Fast and the Furious and Iron Man 3.
This is true. And yes, I did see those two trailers as well. I don't think they gave us. I'm trying to remember. You'd think I'd remember something like that. I don't.
And,
if they did, then it was a very kind of a vague trailer for Star Trek.
But my daughter was kind of almost falling asleep during the trailers until Thor: The Dark World came on because she's a big Thor fan.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yes, I saw that. That made me happy.
So, yeah.
Although, could kind of do without Natalie Portman, but you must take with the good with the bad sometimes.
Well, you don't like Natalie Portman either.
I like Natalie Portman. I found her useless in Thor. There was zero chemistry between the two of them. Zero. I like her. I don't really have issue with her. I just think, you know, her being in Thor in the first one was a mistake, and bringing her back for the second one, still a mistake. Maybe she'll die. Who knows?
Well, you know, they probably had her under contract.
Yeah.
Robert Downey Jr., he's got one more movie under the current contract, but I'm sure that is being discussed as we speak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember, you know, when the whole contract thing first came up a month or so ago, and they were throwing out John Hamm as a replacement, and I have no problem with John Hamm, but I would be very, very disappointed to see him as Iron Man.
I think you're going to be disappointed with anybody.
Yeah. I don't think anyone can fill those shoes.
Obviously, they're going to try to get someone that's cheaper. I was reading this article about the whole reason that they had Joss do Avengers and not Favreau is because Favreau is going to cost them too much money. So, anyways, that's just rumor. All right, so I think we've talked about Iron Man 3.
I think so. Weekend box office time?
Yes, I think so.
Okay, then. Well, here's a shocker. Iron Man opened at number one, grossing $174.1 million. Pain and Gain came in at number two, grossing $7.5 million. What a sad, gigantic difference in dollars that is. 42 held at number three, grossing $6.1 million. Oblivion fell to number four, grossing $5.6 million. The Croods held at five, grossing $4.2 million. And I will go as far as The Big Wedding coming in at number six, grossing $3.9 million. Although a couple of slight surprises. Mud entered the weekend box office last week at 11. It jumped to 7 this week. And Oz the Great and Powerful, which dropped off last week, rose from 13 to 8. Did not see that coming. I was kind of surprised that it made a jump like that.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, because there's been, as far as I can remember, there's been nothing surrounding it. Like, you know, with Argo being nominated for Best Picture. To keep that in, you know, keep that in the top five. And I haven't heard anything about Oz in a couple of weeks. So I was surprised that it pulled back up into the top 12 and at number eight, no less.
Yeah, I think that's more of an addition by subtraction kind of thing because you're top at number eight, 2.1 million.
Yep.
Mud was 2.1, Big Wet, you know, because there's a lot of, I mean, obviously, Iron Man 3 is dominating everybody.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, that's true. And from there, we will jump over to our movie picks. And yes, we did have someone who had all five picks correct and had a perfect score of 25. And congratulations, Monty, for getting Iron Man 3, Pain and Gain, 42, Oblivion, and The Croods correct. Yay! Next, we have Scott coming in second with 24 points. He had the first four correct as well, Iron Man 3, Pain and Gain, 42, and Oblivion. He had The Big Wedding in fifth instead of sixth, which only gave him a one-point hit. And next up is Mr. Jeff. Tell the lovely people how you did.
So I had Iron Man 3 at number one. I had Pain and Gain number two. I had Oblivion at three and 42 at four, so I lost 1 point each on having those two movies in the wrong order, and I had The Croods at five, so that gave me a nice 23.
Yay! We had four people with a 22. That is Cougron, Scuba Dave, myself, and Mrs. Beast. We had Iron Man 3 and Pain and Gain correct, and we had Oblivion in third instead of fourth, 42 in fourth instead of third, and The Big Wedding in fifth instead of sixth. Each of those giving us a one-point loss. And coming up in the rear, sorry. Last but never least, there we go, is Father Beast and BD. They both had 21 points with the same picks. Iron Man 3 at number 1, Oblivion in 2nd instead of 4th, Pain and Gain in 3rd instead of 2nd, 42 in 4th instead of 3rd, and they had The Croods correct in number 5. A little bit of a short stack playing this week. And now to go on to the leaderboard, it is very close. BD is still in 1st with 22.29 points. Monty is in second with 22.28 points. Oh, the family tension must be insane. Art is in third with 22.2 points. Kugron is in fourth with 21.7 points. Jeff is in fifth with 20.9 points. Scott is in sixth, 20.2 points. Nick is in seventh with 19.9 points. Tad is in 8th, 19.4. Scuba Dave is in 10th with 19.2. Father, ooh, hold on a second. Oh, hold on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I forgot to change the numbers. So BD first, Monty, Art, Kugron, Jeff is in 5th, Scott 6th, Nick 7th, Tad is in 8th with 19.4 points, Scuba Dave in 9th with 19.2, Father Beast in 10th. With 19.1, I am in 11th, 18.4, Mrs. Beast in 12th with 17.4, and Mentally is in 13th with 13.7. Sorry about that slight confusion. I did the scores right before we recorded. I am responsible, but I will not be held responsible. Pah. And that is it for the results show. Thank you, everybody.
And thank you, Lena, for taking care of all that.
Oh, you're very welcome.
I'm glad I'm an accountant.
So what have we, what's opening this weekend, my dear?
Well, we have two movies coming in the wide release. Mm-hmm. First one we're going to talk about is The Great Gatsby, which I think it might not unseat Iron Man 3 at number one this week, but it definitely will be number one in the number of Gatsby-themed parties this weekend.
Oh, gosh.
I already heard two co-workers are going to be going to one of them's a birthday kind of thing. But, yeah, there's that.
Although the costume aspect would be fun. I give them that. Okay.
All right, so The Great Gatsby. The Great Gatsby follows Fitzgerald-like would-be writer Nick Carraway, played by Tobey Maguire, as he leaves the Midwest and comes to New York City in the spring of 1922. An era of loosening morals, glittering jazz, bootleg kings, and skyrocketing stocks. Chasing his own American dream, Nick lands next door to a mysterious, party-giving millionaire, Jay Gatsby, played by Leonardo DiCaprio, and across the bay from his cousin, Daisy, Carey Mulligan, and her philandering, blue-blooded husband, Tom Buchanan, Joel Edgerton. It is thus that Nick is drawn into the captivating world of the super rich, their illusions, loves, and deceits. As Nick bears witness, within and without of the world he inhabits, he pens a tale of impossible love, incorruptible dreams, and high-octane tragedy, and holds a mirror to our own modern times and struggles. PG-13, 2 hours and 23 minutes. What do you think, Lana? Are you going to see this?
Oh, God, no. Nope.
Right, so, right now it's at a 44% on the tomato meter. And I also did a little looking on, because there's a lot of to-do about the director, Baz Luhrmann.
Ah, yes.
So he's a fan of stylized filmmaking. So I looked at his last three movies. So I looked at, he's made four. So we're not gonna talk about Strictly Ballroom, but we're gonna talk.
I was gonna say I know I've seen two, but now I know I've seen three of his movies.
Okay, so Romeo and Juliet, mm-hmm. 1996, and the opening for that one was $11.1 million, but it was a limited release. I mean, it was 1,276 theaters. And now I just realized I forgot to write down what place it came in because I wrote it down for the other two. Anyways, and DiCaprio was in that one. I think that was DiCaprio and Claire Danes.
Indeed it was.
And we're actually going in reverse chronological order. So that was the oldest one. Second oldest was Moulin Rouge, which, mm-hmm. funnily enough, that came out in two theaters its opening weekend, and it was able to pull down $167,000. So it had, you know, if we were doing the indie picks for it, it would have averaged 83,000 a screen, which is pretty good. The next week, it expanded to 2279 as far as number of theaters, and it pulled in 13.7 million. Good enough for number four that week.
Okay.
And then the most recent one, Australia.
Oh, I didn't know he did that.
He did Australia. That opened on 2,642 screens and pulled in 14.8 million, which put it at number five. So we'll see what kind of opening he's going to have for this movie. Gets, you know, their Hollywood Reporter saying that, you know, probably a conservative estimate would be 30 million, but could be a 40. Because this could do well with the female demographic,
mm-hmm.
as well as you know, moms, or, you know, going out to the movies for Mother's Day.
This is true. What a good thought.
That could be in play as well.
Yep.
Okay, and the second movie that we have is Peoples. Sparks fly in the Hamptons when regular guy Wade Walker, played by Craig Robinson, crashes the preppy people's family reunion to ask for their precious daughter Grace's, played by Kerry Washington, hand in marriage. Wade might be a fish out of water among this picture-perfect East Coast clan, always trying to keep up appearances, but he's not about to let himself sink. Instead, in a wild weekend of fun, dysfunction and hilarious surprises, Wade is about to discover there's room for all kinds of peoples in this family, no matter their differences. Writer and first-time director Tina Gordon Chisholm, writer of Drumline, joins forces with Tyler Perry to present a laugh-out-loud look at the family ties that freak us out, but bind us together with love. PG-13, 1 hour and 35 minutes.
Mm.
Starring David Alan Greer, which I've always enjoyed him as a
mm-hmm.
Also S. Epatha Merkerson. I'm sorry, Merkerson, who I think had a career on Law and Order.
Yep.
If you've watched Law and Order.
I've seen a few Law and Orders here and there, a few CSIs here and there. They all kind of, there's so many variations of it, they kind of merged into one at one point.
Yeah, so I've seen in one other place that this might be just Meet the Parents, Tyler Perry's Meet the Parents.
I like that.
I don't know if I'll see this.
No, and it, you know, even if it comes on TV or cable, I don't. Maybe if I can't reach the remote. It just doesn't seem like something that would interest me.
So let's take a look at the last three Tyler Perry movies.
Okay.
So, Tyler Perry's Good Deeds opened to 15.6 million on 2,132 screens, and that was good enough to be number two. Next is Madea's Witness Protection, 25.4 million on 2,164, but that was good enough for number four.
Hmm.
And then last summer's Alex Cross, 4 million, but that was on 2,539 screens, but that ended up being number five. So I don't think there's any way that this is going to do Alex Cross business.
And as we were discussing earlier, Tyler Perry is not in this movie.
Right. Right.
Which, for Tyler Perry fans, obviously, a blow against it.
Sir.
Mm-hmm.
He's the producer. And that's the two movies that in wide release this weekend.
Okay, then. Are we ready for movie picks?
I think so. And I'm guessing I'm going first.
Oh, pretty much almost always.
Okay, well, if you want to go first this week, I can defer.
That's okay. I had my week of 25 and I went first and that was exciting. Woo.
I didn't think you'd jump at that chance. All right, so I am going to go Iron Man.
I'm going to write down your number one before you even say it.
Two, I'm going to put The Great Gatsby. Mm-hmm. Three, I think The People's is going to do okay to land in the third spot. Four, I'm going to have to go with Pain and Gain. And I'm going to learn from last week's lesson, and I'm going to put 42 at number five. And for my indie pick, there's another movie that is at a 96% Rotten Tomato score. But I actually heard some talk on the podcast Douglas Movies about Sightseers.
Oh, okay.
And they were talking about that they've never been more disturbed at a comedy.
Really?
Than Sightseers.
Oh.
So I'm going to go with Sightseers. It's a British road comedy.
Oh.
So that's all I'm going with. So we'll see how that does.
Oh, that sounds very interesting.
And I'm out.
My picks are extremely similar. I also have Iron Man 3 at number 1, The Great Gatsby at number 2. I flipped to the next two. I have Pain and Gain at number 3 and People's at 4, because I have slightly less faith in People's than you do, literally and figuratively. And I have 42 at number 5, and I will say, because normally before I make my art house pick, I look at the trailers, I read up a little bit. I didn't do any of that this week. I just kind of looked and said, the stories we tell is an interesting title. So, Stories We Tell is, and now I'm seeing that's the one at 96%. But I seriously knew nothing about it. Oh, Sarah Polley's in it. Huh.
She actually is the director of it, too.
How very interesting.
Her movie.
I remember her when she was a child on Canadian child TV shows. And no, I'm not Canadian. I'm trying to remember the name of that show she was on. I have to look it up. She was very wee. Oh, she was on Ramona. That used to play on PBS I think it used to play on PBS on the weekends. That I would watch at an age I am now realizing is much too old to be watching Ramona, but that is neither here nor there. She was Ramona's little sister, Beezus.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's all I get as far as that. But there's my picks. And speaking of art house picks, I believe last week you had the best of the art house picks with the Iceman. Because if you recall, I changed my pick so that we wouldn't have the same one. Because someone went,
Well, I'm sorry. I didn't realize you were so convincible.
Well, I'm not even close to I'm in second place as far as the art house picks, but I'm not even close, so it matters not.
Okay.
Scat on My Ashes of Bergdorf still did a little over $9,000 as an average. The Iceman did almost $22,000, but that's okay. That is okay. And now, what part of the show is this, Jeff?
I think news.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so we're a little light on movie news. So I was able to find some TV-related stuff.
That works.
So kind of going on the coattails of Iron Man 3, it appears that Joss Whedon's S.H.I.E.L.D. television program is near a series order at ABC. People are saying that there really wasn't a chance they weren't going to pick it up. But it could be official as of Friday that it will be on the fall schedule for ABC. And with a lot of people that worked on Avengers, well, and by a lot of people, I mean Joss, pretty much. we're going to have Agent Coulson is going to be on the TV show, and some other people, and I think And I don't, some of the characters, I don't know if the same actors are going to be there, but some of the characters off of the Avengers Blu-ray, there's a short movie about this couple that finds one of the alien guns. S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, is very diligently trying to, you know, to cover those things up. So it's an interesting film. You should check it out if you have the chance. Okay, so there's that for the S.H.I.E.L.D. show. Next, it looks like that Fox is going to cancel Touch, which was kind of a patterns, maybe, you know, trying to mine some of the area that Fringe and Lost kind of went down, but they didn't do too good a job because it got canceled in the middle of the second season.
No.
But right after that news broke, Fox has announced that they're going to be bringing 24 back.
Really?
Yes. So so they're going to have showrunner Howard Gordon, is behind bringing it back. He's currently working on Homeland. And it kind of portends that the 24 movie is pretty much dead. He said between budget, salaries, and timing that, you know, they just can't get it done. So they're going to try to bring him back to television for, I guess, the final season.
Now, did you watch 24?
I watched the last two seasons.
Did it end in a way that they could just pick up the TV series again?
Yeah, it always does.
Oh, okay.
It always does. The last two were kind of, he retires, and they always convince him to come out of retirement.
Okay, because I didn't watch it, so I didn't know if, when it ended, if they knew it was going to end, if they kind of made a big, you know, like Lost. You can't bring Lost back. Well, you could, but it would be a stupid move.
Yes.
If they ended it in a way that ended it.
No, I started watching 24 because my boss was a big 24 fan.
Mm-hmm.
And what they liked, or I don't know if they did this in seasons past, but the year that I started watching it, they do the first four episodes in two nights.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a two-hour, like, Sunday, Monday kind of thing. And he missed it. My boss missed it. And so he didn't watch it that season, so I was watching it by myself. And then I hear him talking with my coworker about Heroes, which is now the new show he's watching that's on the same time as 24.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the whole reason I started watching 24. But. And then I ended up watching Heroes.
I liked Heroes.
Yeah, Heroes was good. And there's, I think that's it.
Okay. We're, you know what? Movies, TV, news in general, we're allowed slow weeks.
Oh, one other thing. I guess one of your favorite shows, Parks and Rec, is coming back.
Yes. I do love Parks and Rec.
So let's end with good news.
Yay! And then even better news, Whitney was canceled.
Oh, why'd you have to bring this down like that?
Oh, because it was horrible. It was horrible. Some comedians should simply not turn their stand-up into a TV show. It's a very difficult line to cross over. Seinfeld did it. Roseanne did it. Successfully in the beginning, as far as Roseanne. And honestly, I can't even think of who else turned their stand-up. I know there was someone else who kind of turned their stand-up into a TV show.
Everybody Loves Raymond?
True, because in the first season, it's all of his stand-up. And that, I believe, to me, was successful.
Yeah, I think his stand-up created the core dynamic of that show.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there were story ideas that I think they, as they went to the seasons, I think might have come out of a stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a good documentary about that Russia called The Creator.
Uh-huh.
I talked about this?
No, but it reminded me of something, but then I just remembered it was...
So
it was on HBO. I remember coming across it at one point.
Yeah, Phil Rosenthal, I think, is his name. He's the executive producer of Everybody Loves Raymond. And he was approached by Russia that they want to adapt Everybody Loves Raymond. And it's a fascinating study on how a Russian network, how much they changed the show based on what the Russian viewing public likes. It was very interesting. It's a good, I would recommend checking it out.
I did not see it, but I do remember it. Now, did you know that, you remember Amy, Robert's wife?
Mm-hmm.
That's Phil Rosenthal's wife.
Oh, I did not know that.
Well, it's my only bit of trivia.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
Interesting.
Yes. But I liked Amy.
Yeah, she was funny. They did a great job casting it up, that show.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and it wasn't, you know, sometimes if someone's relative might be in a show, it's just a horrible move, but she fit in really well with how that show was going.
So, Elena, since we're done with the news, let me ask you a question.
Uh-huh.
What did they record last night on Backseat Producers?
Lincoln.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. I don't know what next week is because I haven't listened to the beginning of the show yet.
I checked out the Skyfall edition of Backseat Producers.
Mm-hmm.
And there are certain parts where I wonder if I was watching the same movie that they are.
How so?
I just didn't enjoy it as much as everyone did on their end.
You know, it was funny. When I saw Skyfall, I always do everything I can to not have to use the bathroom during a movie. But in this particular instance, I tried, but I had to go. I had to go because it was one of those theaters where you have dinner and stuff. So I'd had beer, and it was, you know, very weak beer, but still, you drink beer, it goes through you quickly.
Yeah, I think back when Scott was on here, I think we've talked about Skyfall.
Yeah,
I don't want to regurgitate too much. It was just I was just a little, I don't know, I was a little surprised about how different opinion I had.
Well, no, I mean, my only comp, I'm sorry.
I think I was a lot more nitpicky.
My only comment about the whole bathroom thing was the one scene that my assumption is to everyone that is the bestest scene in the movie was when I was in the bathroom. I still haven't seen it.
How far in the movie did you go to the bathroom?
About a minute and a half before Javier Bardem's reveal.
Oh.
I still have not seen that.
No, that was good.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I enjoyed it, you know.
So, I was listening to another episode of Backseat Producers. I must have been the Argo one, where I guess Tony was not looking forward to seeing Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
And I instantly thought of a way that you could watch Lincoln, and it would give you another level of appreciation for the movie.
Okay.
The idea for this came from one of my other favorite podcasts, Doug Loves Movies.
Ah.
One of the games they play on that show is Bane or Lincoln. So basically what he does is he just takes a line of dialogue and you have to say if Bane or Lincoln, you know, recited that line of dialogue.
And I like that.
Someone else on the show had mentioned that if you watch Lincoln and in your head pretend to hear the voice of Bane, or if I, I'm, if, excuse me, if there were ever a wish, it would be that someone would recut Lincoln with the Bane voice.
That would make it ever so much more enjoyable.
Well, I'm not saying more enjoyable, I'd say different.
I think it would be different. I think it would be more enjoyable.
Yeah. Yeah, but Bane is one of those, just his tonality, it's like every comedian now does a Bane impression.
Oh, yeah.
To hilarious results. At least in my opinion.
So, oh, my gosh.
Is that?
Yeah, I was going to, when I came home from work, I was going to listen to the beginning so I could see what next week's movie was. Because I know they're still, I think they're still on a run of fairly current movies, like within the last couple of months. I know Cloud, I believe Cloud Atlas is still somewhere in that lineup.
In play somewhere, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I also heard of, have you heard about this movie, Rubber?
Rubber?
Mm-hmm.
No.
It's a horror movie.
Okay.
It's about a sentient tire.
For real?
For real. It's a sentient tire that I think can kill things with its brain.
You're not just saying this to play a trick on me, are you?
I'm not.
Okay.
I heard this on another podcast. And actually, since we're...
Now I gotta look this up. Rubber, official movie site. What? With Wings Hauser? What?
All right. So here's the tag for Rubber from IMDb. When Robert, a tire, discovers his destructive telepathic powers, he soon sets his sights on a desert town. In particular, a mysterious woman becomes his obsession. Excuse me. It says, stars, Goodyear. Goodyear is Robert.
Oh my gosh. No, no. I would sit down and watch Whitney before I would see that. That should tell the whole story.
Yeah, so...
Geesh.
So there's an opening dialogue. Since you're not, it sound like you're interested, I'm just going to go ahead and read it. Sorry for spoilers, guys. All right, if you don't want to hear the opening of the movie, you know... Thanks for listening. Okay. So the first line, spoken by Lieutenant Chad. And I'm just taking this off of IMDb, so if you just want to read it, you can. Okay. In the Steven Spielberg movie E.T., why is the alien brown? No reason. In Love Story, why do the two characters fall madly in love with each other? No reason. In Oliver Stone's JFK, why is the president suddenly assassinated by some stranger? No reason. In the excellent Chainsaw Massacre by Tobe Hooper, or Toby probably, why don't we ever see the characters go to the bathroom or wash their hands like people do in real life? Absolutely no reason. Worse, in The Pianist by Polanski, how come this guy has to hide and live like a bum when he plays the piano so well? Once again, the answer is no reason. I can go on for hours of more examples. The list is endless. You probably never gave it a thought, but all great films, without exception, contain an important element of no reason. And you know why? Because life itself is filled with no reason. Why can't we see the air all around us? No reason. Why are we always thinking? No reason. Why do some people love sausages and other people hate sausages? No effing reason. And then Cop Xavier honks the horn. Come on, don't waste your time explaining that garbage. Let's go. Just a minute, let me finish. Looks back at the audience. Ladies, gentlemen, the film you're about to see today is an homage to the no reason, that most powerful element of style.
My gosh.
I'm gonna have to check it out. That you hate it so much.
You are a stronger man than I. Eye to eye.
Did you ever? I know that the guys reviewed, and I can't remember what it's about zombie sheep. I think it's Black Sheep.
Zombie sheep?
Mm-hmm. Pardon me while I go to the internets.
No, no, no.
Is it 2006? Yes. Black Sheep. An experiment in genetic engineering turns harmless sheep into bloodthirsty killers that terrorize a sprawling New Zealand farm.
Oh my god. I am missing so much in this world of movies.
And then at the top of the movie poster, there are 40 million sheep in New Zealand, and they're pissed off.
Oh my god. Oh lord.
Well, I think we could end on that.
Pissed off sheep works for me.
Yes.
Oh. Alrighty then. Thanks everybody for listening. Have a wonderful weekend. Enjoy whatever movies you're going to see.
And to all the mothers out there, happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day. My mom's in Italy. I hope I got a caller this weekend.
I guess that would be pointed towards Mrs. Beast.
Aww. Happy Mother's Day, Mrs. Beast.
Yeah, happy Mother's Day.
We do love the whole Beast family. And happy Mother's Day to your lovely wife, Jeff.
Well, thank you. And you wish happy Mother's Day to your mother.
Thank you. And to all the wives / mothers of the Backseat Producers family.
And all the men who have been called a mother any time in their life.
Oh, that list is endless. Oh, my goodness. Alrighty then. And on that note, that is where we say goodnight.
All right. Good night. And
good night, everybody.